Citizenship and Immigration Canada is threatening to deport Dorothy Agaro to Nigeria, forcing her 2-year-old Canadian-born daughter, Precious, either to Nigeria or into foster care. Dorothy Agaro has lived in Canada for over 5 years, and still Citizenship and Immigration Canada threatens deportation. Dorothy fled Nigeria after being gang-raped and having experienced genital mutilation as a child. Citizenship and Immigration Canada threatens to separate Dorothy from her child, leaving Precious, her 2-year-old daughter, either in Canada or sent back to Nigeria with Dorothy, where she would also face genital mutilation. This case clearly highlights the inhumanity of Citizenship and Immigration Canada's practices. On December 10th, a delegation led by Dorothy Agaro and supported by the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, the Action Committee for Non-Status Algerians from Montreal and No One is Illegal visited both the Greater Toronto Enforcement Centre and Office of Immigration Canada, which is responsible for administering deportations and detention, and the Ontario Regional Office of Immigration. The delegation demanded a fair hearing for Dorothy's case, pointing at the necessity and urgency of stopping Dorothy's deportation, highlighting the fact that Citizenship and Immigration Canada was willing to separate a 2-year-old from her mother, highlighting the growing rejection of Citizenship and Immigration Canada's practices by people throughout Canada. The delegation this past Tuesday directly confronted Citizenship and Immigration Canada and put a human face to Dorothy's case, to the immigration officials who view these compelling human stories as case numbers. Here's Dorothy explaining her case at the Greater Toronto Enforcement Centre, where a delegation of over 25 people confronted Citizenship and Immigration Canada officials.
Okay, but could you listen to me, please? This is about my life, about my daughter's life.
I appreciate that, but I don't have your file. I'm in no position to even discuss.
I can give you my ID. You can look into my file as soon as you can. Here is my ID.
Don't tell us that as a manager
that
you can't pull her
ID.
File.
You can pull my file out. But can I just tell you something? This is about my daughter. This is about the life
there
of
are
my
no
what
avenues.
Avenue? What are you prepared to do?
I don't have other avenue because you told me you never put the best interest of my child first. That the principal applicant is what you decide on. So that is why we are here today. I'm demanding on you, on the Canada Immigration, to release me. Let me live a free life. Let me be able to contribute to the society. Let me be able to give to my child what I didn't get as a child. I'm a victim of circumcision. You all know it. I have a doctor that examined me on 2 different occasions. Different doctor examined me that I have been circumcised in the past. I have a child I have to fight for. That is my ID number. My name is Dorothy Agaro. You can pull my file out. It's right there. You have in my record there the doctor examination. You have the one that the doctor that examined me, how I was beaten, I was tortured, I was gang raped. That was ignored.
I'm not prepared to listen to your whole presentation now. But at least put
so
a file.
So what are you prepared to do, sir?
If you have concerns, we'll call you back. We'll try to find the file, but there's no one here that can...
You can speak
you can
to
speak
it.
Speak to me, sir.
You can stop the deportation.
You can stop this deportation.
You have the
ability.
You have
yes,
the power.
You
have that power.
To give to my child what I didn't get growing up as a child. This is about a Canadian-born child. She is a Canadian. She has the right to be protected by your law as a Canadian-born, right? Because one thing I want to put on notice is, if you try and go against the will of the judge that says, I have the full custody of my child, that says, a interim non-removal order from the province of Ontario, and you decide to deport me to Nigeria, and this child, eventually she's circumcised, guess what? I will back my daughter. I will support her. We will fight it because she will come back and sue you and sue the government of Canada. Circumcision is abuse that I've been living with for the rest of my life. Part of me has been taken away. You have to say it now because she will come back and fight. And I will fight with all my strength. You guys have screwed my life completely. My life has been a living nightmare. For the past how many years? 7 years in Canada. Don't you have conscience to think about a woman that having I love my child. She's all that I got in my life. I will do the best I can. I will fight a fight of good faith. I need you to look into my file. I need an answer from you. I need a response from you, sir, before I leave. I need a response from you that this deportation is stayed. Because I don't want you to come get me overnight. You already did before. You get me at about 7 a.m. in the morning.
I'll get in touch with you and call you in.
To meet with who?
To meet with who?
With an officer.
No, with she's
officer.
Already met with the officer.
No, I have met with him. No, I'm not coming out of that officer. That is encouraging. He want to push you to the limit. He want to get rid of me. Remember, the HSA application is pending. I put that HSA application December 1999. It's still pending. Nothing is done with my application, but you want to get rid of me. First, before anything is done with my, is that fair? That is wrong.
No,
and if you try to take my child away from me and give to a foster care, do you know the damage it will do to my child's life? We are born, so close, that you can't do that. You can't do that to my child. You can't do it to me. That would be wrong if you choose to take her away to give a foster child. And if you choose to take her to Nigeria and she's circumcised, she has the right to sue this government at any time. I just want you to have that back of your mind. I'm calling on you.
You can stay the deportation.
After the delegation, I spoke with Dorothy about her case and how she felt about the direct approach to dealing with citizenship and immigration Canada.
How do you feel about what happened?
Today?
Yeah,
I feel great, despite their denial. I feel there's a hope. I will never give up. I feel I will keep pursuing all necessary available avenues that come my way to fight this fight and to fight it to the end and win. Because my child had the right to be protected as a Canadian citizen. That is my basic goal. And I want everyone out there to do the same thing. If you are facing same similar situation like I'm facing today, push harder. Don't give up. Because Canada immigration and the Canada government need to know that this is wrong. Trying to separate children from their parents. Trying to tear families apart. Trying to refuse to protect their own citizens. Deporting them to a situation whereby they will be abused in one way or the other. It is wrong. So anybody out there need to press harder. If you're in a similar situation, and just push ahead and believe in for what you believe in, and then you know that you will win by God's grace. So in GTAC here, they are deniers. They know I made my case. Because this is real. This is about life. They have it in my file, the doctor report that two different doctors examined me that says I have been mutilated in the past. So they are just basically denier. They have it there, and I know that this message that we have come today to give them has gone across, and I know something will change. I know it. That's why they refuse to admit it. I know something will change. Thank you.
As the two delegations went down this last Tuesday in Toronto, immigration officials felt the pressure of having to deal with the human reality of Dorothy's case. And now there seems to be a better chance of Dorothy being accepted into Canada. We spoke with Stephanie from the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty about where things stand with Dorothy's case after last Tuesday's delegations.
3 days ago, Dorothy Agaro, who is facing deportation to Nigeria and possible separation from her 2-year-old daughter, Precious, who has obtained a family court order that should protect her right to take care of her child in the province of Ontario, as decided by that court, she's still being pursued very strongly by Immigration Canada for deportation. Despite having such strong grounds for being able to stay. And on Tuesday, a 30 or so person delegation did a double visit to Immigration Canada, one at the location where deportations are organized, processed, and carried out, the Greater Toronto Enforcement Centre, conveniently located across the street from Pearson International Airport and down the road from the Family Detention Centre known as the Celebrity Inn. At that location, the delegation, which was comprised of Dorothy, as well as members of OCAP, members of No One is Illegal, and the Comité Sans Statut d'Algérien from Montreal, were basically met with stonewalling tactics on the part of administration at the enforcement center, despite the fact that administration there has the power to grant administrative stays of removal. They deemed it important enough only to shout through the glass, you know, in response to a woman who was pleading and very passionately arguing her own situation. You know, they didn't bother to come out from behind that glass. In fact, their response was to call the police, which, you know, there's no question that this is not a police matter, that the power rested with those officials there to deal with the situation, and we know and they know that they could have done so, but they refused. And the delegation left the enforcement center and proceeded to the Ontario Regional Head Offices of Immigration, which oversees all aspects of immigration in Ontario, being deportation, the refugee process, the immigrant landing process, sponsorship, citizenship, etc. And OCAP has quite a history of visiting that office, to the point that a special alarm system has been installed that basically deactivates the entire building whenever a delegation arrives, accompanied by large flashing strobe lights and a lot of security guards, and eventually always also the police. And the tactic at that office seems to generally be to send out a public relations hack to, you know, toe the line and basically to say your concerns, and I say that in quotation marks, will be passed along to the appropriate people. And the person in question this time around was a man by the name of Régent Catelan, who was a director of public relations, who felt it necessary to sort of walk through the entire immigration process with Dorothy and with her supporters at that time. You know, it took about 40 minutes. He obviously had, you know, little comprehension of the fact that when you're going through an ordeal like this, you're very aware of what all the stages of the process are, and, you know, those had been complied with, more than complied with, and his response to Dorothy's insistence that he look a picture of her daughter in the eyes was, you know, to not be able to do so. He wasn't able to do so, and also to just reiterate that her, quote, concerns would be passed along. So this, of course, was met with a fury on the part, very powerfully on the part of a couple of women who are non-status Algerians living in Canada, who also, you know, expressed very strong arguments that for that office, dealing with Dorothy's situation is paper pushing and, you know, means nothing to them, but that for Dorothy, it's her life and the life of her child. And, you know, as a father, as a human being, that Régent Catelan should surely be able to see that the situation is not a complicated one, and that Dorothy should be issued a stay of deportation on the spot. And the police were called quite quickly in that situation, and Dorothy continued to rail against the official, despite, you know, a myriad of uniformed officers standing around. And eventually, a meeting was brokered with the public relations director behind closed doors with Dorothy and several supporters. And at that time, a promise was made that she could call within 24 hours and receive a response on her situation. And basically where things stand now are that we are getting very mixed but positive signals through sort of very cloaked messages and channels that Immigration Canada may have indeed approved Dorothy's risk assessment, which, for people to understand, that means that basically the next stage for her would be getting her landed papers. So that would be a clear-cut victory. It would be Immigration Canada acknowledging that Dorothy does indeed face risk and persecution, something that they could have dealt with at the refugee claimant level but didn't. So we don't have full-fledged confirmation of that, and for that reason we encourage people to keep up the pressure on Immigration Canada. We've asked people to call in and express their concern both to the Ontario Regional Head Office and to the Minister as well. And also to bear in mind that regardless of the outcome of Dorothy's situation, that Immigration Canada going against the decision of the family court, which is something that I mentioned earlier, that may indeed become a practice, is going to become a very serious issue for many mothers and fathers and children who are dealing with the immigration system, and that there's absolutely no excuse for relenting on pressuring Immigration Canada to cease such abhorrent practice.
What exactly did Dorothy face with the potential deportation back to Nigeria?
Well, she herself would be forced to return to a country where she had been persecuted, raped, tortured, and where she herself had undergone female genital mutilation. And then, you know, there's no way that Dorothy wants to bring her child, her two-year-old, back into a situation that she obviously didn't feel safe staying in. And so she would be faced with the decision of whether or not to bring her daughter with her to Nigeria or to leave her daughter to be put into foster care in Canada and separated from the only parent and caregiver she has ever known. And it's a decision no one should ever have to make. And people who listen to your program will well be familiar with the fact that this is not an unusual situation or like a novel case. It happens all the time.
And one more question. A lot of pressure was applied to Immigration Canada at various offices through delegations of supporters, people taking a vocal stance against pending deportation. Can you speak about how these delegations can be effective in applying pressure?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Offices run because they count on the fact that things will be business as usual, that there will be no sort of disruption to their regular workings, and certainly also that they won't have to sit face-to-face looking at the person that they're making this life-destroying decision about. And these delegations play upon very basic values ideals of dignity and respect. And when a bureaucrat has to confront that physically, emotionally, as a human being, as opposed to, you know, the way that offices such as Immigration Canada ordinarily, you know, run smoothly, that's pretty powerful. And, you know, it's about showing that people are not struggling alone, that there's widespread rage and opposition to these incredibly destructive policies. And I think that's something that's pretty horrifying to people that generally, you know, carry on their business as usual without ever having to confront that. I mean, it's pretty safe to sit in a cubicle that's behind plate glass and, you know, has a security system installed to prevent human face-to-face interaction and rage such as that delegations bring.
You've been listening to the voices of people who have been involved with fighting a pending Citizenship and Immigration Canada deportation order for Dorothy Agaro, a Nigerian woman who fled Nigeria after being gang-raped and having experienced genital mutilation as a child. Dorothy has a 2-year-old Canadian-born daughter, Precious, who faces, if deported back to Nigeria with Dorothy, the same genital mutilation. Again, Citizenship and Immigration Canada proves the inhumanity of their procedures in dealing with people's lives. You can apply pressure on Immigration Canada and demand that CIC stay Dorothy's deportation at 613-995-6108 or email codere.d@parl.gc.ca. To get more information about the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, visit www.ocap.ca. Email ocap@tao.ca or call 514-925-6939. This report has been produced by Stefan Christoph for CKUT Radio in Montreal.